And then he ransoms me from death and surrounds me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. And that's what we like, isn't it? You're a younger girl today than you was yesterday, right? Amen. I can do all things. Instead of saying, well, you know, I'm over 40, so I guess I won't be able to go to work next week. You hear people talk like that. You know that? I have my 40th birthday, so we're going to have a black casket birthday party. Have you ever seen anybody do that? I built a casket for a man one time that was in the catering business, and that's what he did. He advertised that if you're over 40, we'll have a black casket. And this casket, he had all kinds of, I put drawers on this thing for him, and he got all kinds of utensils and stuff in there, and he would take the top of it off, and he'd put all the food and everything, salads, everything in his casket, and he'd take it all to the party and bring it in, you know, just like that, and then they would serve everything out. A black casket birthday with the balloons. You're over the hill, guy. You've just passed 40. Or if you're 50, I don't think they even went that far. When you got 60, they just knew you had one foot in the grave, another on a banana peel, so 40 and 50 was the main one they did it for. Isn't that amazing how people see their life? Oh, I'm over 40. Or you'd be like Brian's wife, hey, it don't matter what age I am younger today than I was yesterday because God made, he renews my youth like the eagles.
Amen.
See, and when you do that and you stand on his promises, God is a faith God, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
When you tell him, Lord, I'm grateful that I'm a young man, I'm a young woman. I can do all things because I'm your son or your daughter. Nothing. I don't have to have those problems with my knees no more.
I have a schedule for both knees replaced.
You were already scheduled for it?
Yeah.
Praise God. We got to you in time, huh? Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus fixes them, he can make them a whole lot better. But you have to have faith. And is there lots of us in the church today that does not have faith?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, there's some things I can't even have faith for. You know, there is some things that I have not been able to see healed.
Yeah.
And I know, you know what Jesus' answer to it would be? You don't have enough faith. You hadn't spent enough time with me yet, son. You know?
Yeah.
Not yet. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yet. I mean, I'm going to get there, Kim.
You will.
And we're going to get there. We're gaining ground every day. Every time we spend time in his word, I mean, It's just amazing, like I was telling Brian there a while ago. I said, you know, when I do pray for somebody now, after I've repented, got them to repent of sins, and we've remitted their sins, and I pray, and if nothing's happened in a week or two, I think, well, one of us done something wrong. You know, because it's not God's problem. He wants to heal you.
That's right.
You know, we know that for a fact, don't we, Terry? God wants to heal us. He wants to heal our children. He wants to heal our mates, everything. He wants us to walk in divine health because he said there in that scripture a while ago, let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and let's see what he says there. And he says, in that same mighty power, he has given all of us his rich and wonderful promise. He has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil desires and that you will share in his divine nature. Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? I'm going to share in the King's divine nature. And I'm going to believe he ain't got no bad knees. He ain't got no bad knees. So by these great and awesome promises that we stand on these great and awesome promises, if I'm going to share in his divine nature, that means I ought to be young and strong and able to do great things by faith. But you know, think of the church. Think how many people do not believe. They don't even know these things. And when you confront them, in fact, when I begin to learn things like this, I begin to confront my pastors in my Baptist churches. And but Thurman, that's not what he meant. I said, no, wait a minute. You know, if God didn't mean that, then why did he put in here what he meant? And then, of course, then I, you know, wasn't getting nothing from my pastor. So, I mean, of course, he was trained at the seminary. You know, I guess I didn't put that together. But I would ask one of the PhDs in the seminary when he'd come over, I said, Brother so-and-so, what do you think about this promise? Look at this. What does it mean to be a partaker of God's divine nature with these awesome promises? Well, you know, it's been 15, 20 minutes explaining away what God said in one line. That's what I say. Yeah, I mean, so what does God mean? He meant what he put in the book, didn't he?
What he said.
If he says, be ye holy for I am holy, what did that mean?
Be holy like I'm holy.
Be holy because I am holy.
Private and perfect.
Oh, my goodness gracious alive. 5 and 6. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life.
Every effort.
What am I going to do? When it says make every effort, can I do all things through Christ which strengthens me?
Amen.
I mean, is anything impossible with me if I believe his word?
No.
Did the king tell me a while ago that if I had faith with no doubt, nothing would be impossible with me?
That's what his word said.
So what can I do?
Anything.
Can I cook chicken fried steak?
Yes, you can.
Can I make cream gravy?
Yes, you can.
Can I teach it to Ayesha?
Yes, you can.
Can a Yeshiva teach me to do a lot of things? Yeah, she probably could too. No two ways about it. But see, she was teachable back in those days.
Still is.
I still is. Well, I didn't mean that the way that came out. I mean, back in those days, she was very teachable. I mean, she was willing to listen to me. And she, I mean, I'm just going back to that day. And man, she cooked that chicken fried steak. She made that, or I had made that cream gravy the first time. But after that, whenever we'd be in there every once in a while, she'd say, Pastor, we're having chicken fried steak and cream gravy tonight. I said, oh, praise God. You know, I love it so bad I couldn't wait. My mouth would be watered. We'd go in there and man, she'd whooped up some chicken fried steak and cream gravy. And man, I almost thought I'd done it myself. It was so good. She's still a good cook, isn't she, Dave? Yeah, praise the Lord. She's still a good cook. But as children of God, we often say, I can't do that. It's just like Dave was out there helping Scott work on his air conditioner yesterday on his car. He said, Pastor, I'm so glad you taught me how to work on air conditioners. Because see, when Dave first come here, he didn't know nothing about air conditioners. He was a computer genius. You know, but he was not an air conditioning man. But when he got along with me and realized he's the son of God and nothing's impossible with him, man, he is beginning to understand everything there is about air conditioning and how it works. And was he able to make Scott's air conditioner work yesterday? Oh, yeah, worked like a champ. So what can Dave do as the son of God? Anything he wants to do. What can you do as the son of God? Everything you want to do, right? Now, there may be some things you don't want to do. But that's the only thing that limits you. God gave you the authority and the power to do anything you want to do as a son of God or a daughter of God. Is that right?
Amen.
Yeah. We're not limited. We can be the best of anything because he made the promises. But what if you don't believe him? If you don't believe him, what are you going to get from him?
Nothing.
Nothing. He said that too, didn't he? So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Moral excellence? This morning, early, I was watching Ed Young Jr., and I will have to say, that boy has changed since the first time I heard him preach years ago. I mean, this morning, he was preaching about sexual immorality in his church. And how you guys, he said, there's some of y'all in here living together, sleeping together, and I'm telling you, it's wrong. I thought, wow, this guy's getting it. And he had a church full of people there. I used to know a man and a woman that went to his church that lived together, and they were not married. And he was an usher in Ed Young's church. But Ed this morning was telling it like it is. He was reading them scripture, and he was doing a great job. I listened to about 15 minutes of it, and then it was over. But I thought, man, this boy's getting a hold of it. The Lord must be happy with him. Knowing God, he says, then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance, and patient endurance leads to godliness. So what belongs to you and me as a son of God?
Everything.
But we have to do what to get all this?
Believe.
We have to believe and have to study his word. Now, if you don't study his word, this will not come to you. You know, you'll never get there without the knowledge of the word. So when you get the knowledge of the word, it will begin to happen. Next couple of verses. Godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God wants you to be useful in His kingdom, right, Terry?
Yes, He does.
He wants you to be winning people into the kingdom. He wants you to be praying for the sick. He wants you to be casting out demons. He wants you to be productive. Now then, I've got to tell you a story that I heard this week. This is a perfect place for it. A young man called me, wanted to talk to me from Canada. So I called him and talked to him, and he asked me some questions. And after I answered him, he said, "Pastor, you got 2 minutes for a testimony?" I said, "Yes, I do. I love testimonies." He said, a few years ago, when we came to one of your meetings in Minnesota, he said, "You changed our life forever, mine and my wife." He said, we never went out and witnessed to people. We never talked to people about Jesus. But he said, after we saw what you did and how God used you to bring people into the kingdom, he said, "I thought this is what we're supposed to be doing." So he said, "My pastor and I went off up into Michigan to look at a windmill, these big wind generators." And he said, "While we were up there, we come to this little bitty tiny town, and there was only one little tiny restaurant in the little town. And we thought, well, while we're up here, we'll have some lunch." So we went in to have lunch and said, "Went in, here's this lady there. And so I'm kind of wanting to strike up a conversation with her." I said, "Are you the farmer's daughter?" And she said, "Yes, I am the farmer's daughter. My dad owns a lot of land around here." He said, "Well, does the farmer's daughter, is she a Christian?" She said, "Yes, this farmer's daughter is definitely a Christian." He said, "Well, does this farmer's daughter go to church?" She said, "Oh, yes, this farmer's daughter goes to church every time the doors open." She said, "I really love Jesus." She said, "You know, can I tell you something?" And he said, "Sure." She said, "I've been praying for one of my good friends to get saved. And I've been telling her all the wonderful things about Jesus. She came by and I led her to Jesus. And after I led her to Jesus, I said, 'You know, Jesus really loves you. He wants to talk to you and show you great and wonderful things.'" So she'd been saved one day. And she's in her car on the way to another little town. And she begins to pray, "Lord, if what I just done, making you my Lord and Savior, is really true, I want you to talk to me and I want you to tell me what you want me to do so I can be used of you for your glory."
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, "Who Are We Going to Believe?" or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.